Welcome to the Paleo View. I'm Stacey Toth of PaleoParents.com. You might also know me as the Broth Lady, or the inventor of the hashtag More Vegetables Than a Vegetarian. I'm the co-author of several paleo cookbooks, including Eat Like a Dinosaur, Beyond Bacon, and the upcoming Real Life Paleo. I like to talk about health at any size, and self-love, and personal acceptance. Specifically, I have a love for lifting heavy things. If you're interested in finding more out about that, you can also find me on Strong Woman Radio.
And I'm Dr. Sarah Ballantyne of ThePaleoMom.com. I'm the New York Times best-selling author of The Paleo Approach and The Paleo Approach Cookbook. I'm passionate about nutrient density and the intersection of diet and lifestyle with health, which really means I just love talking about science.
News and Views, where Sarah and I catch up and you get to listen to our gossip. So, hi again, Sarah.
How are you?
I'm good. We're doing the show a little bit backwards today. We just finished recording a segment with Cole, and then I put him to bed so people can look forward to that at the end of the show. We just kind of interviewed him a little bit about going back to school and how he handles the situation, and true to every time I have him on the show, he says something that kind of surprises me, or in some cases embarrasses me, like the time he says I drink all the broth.
As long as he's saying broth, not booze, I think it's fine.
Yeah, that's true. So, interesting perspective from a brand new 9-year-old going into fourth grade about how he has learned to handle, you know, starting the school year being a little bit different. I know for those of us who have kids kind of going into kindergarten and first grade, it was a lot more kind of worrisome and strenuous just because you don't know and you don't want your kids to be different and that sort of thing. I mean, we wrote a story in Eat Like a Dinosaur about how to handle it and talk through it and, you know, talk to the teachers and do all that kind of stuff. But his perspective is just from, you know, how he personally handles it with children that, you know, can be difficult or mostly mean. Children can just be mean, even if they don't mean to be mean. We talk about that a little bit, but I think the reason that we kind of talked about that this week and the reason that it was on his mind and he actually asked if he could come onto the show and talk about it was because last week we worked on finishing up the ebook that we're writing that I teased a little bit last week that at this point should be launched it on the website. We're in that like limbo time warp thing right now where the show hasn't yet aired, but by the time it has aired, it should be live. So unless something goes, you know, terribly wrong, by the time this goes live, our new ebook should be launched called Paleo to Go. And it's an entire ebook of snack and lunch ideas, both for adults and kids. And essentially what we've done is provided, I think there's 50 plus recipes, as well as like an exhaustive list of all of the convenience foods that we purchase as well, that we talk about often on the show, and some other things as well. Like the new online store, One Stop Paleo Shop, has become one of our favorites, just because I can let the kids go on there and say, okay, you have, you know, $25, pick out the things that you want from the store. And then, I know that anything that they choose will be, paleo. So
that's cool.
We talk about a lot of, that kind of stuff in the book. And then we put together an insane amount of like, example lunches and snacks to show people, you know, here's how you can make sure that you have a protein, a fat, and instead of a carb, we call it fruits and vegetables, because that's how we want people to think about their food. Because I think when you switch to paleo, you kind of get out of the mindset of grains and into the mindset of more vegetables. And so you can choose to, you know, eat starchy carbohydrate vegetables, or you can choose to eat green vegetables. It's up to kind of however you're living your paleo lifestyle. But for us, we kind of structured it by, you know, protein, fat, fruits, and vegetables, and showing people different kinds of ways to put those together, both kid-friendly and adult-friendly. So we've got a lot of our kind of classic famous recipes in there, as well as some new stuff that we put together for the ebook. And what we're hoping is that it answers the question that we get on this podcast and on the blogs all the time about, you know, how do you pack for kids' lunches? How do you, for me, I get a question all the time about how do I make paleo work in a lunch place? And so I show people how to, you know, use leftovers, how to, you know, make meals turn into lunches, and also how to incorporate convenience foods so that you're not always in the kitchen cooking all the time. So we were shooting a lot of photographs for a really long time for that book last week, and Cole helped us come up with some of the combinations of lunches that are his favorite, you know, for the kids section and all that kind of stuff. So he wanted to participate and talk about it. And then tomorrow's the first day of school here in Northern Virginia, so we just packed his lunch for tomorrow, and think he's finally, hopefully, in the mindset to go back to school. It's been kind of a short summer, though, because we had a really long winter and a lot of snow days, and so we ended up kind of going, using up part of the summer with snow days, and then it was still not hot when the summer started. So it's been kind of weird thinking that, you know, already school starting for us. But
so my kids have been in school for a month already.
I know. So weird. I know other people's kids have been in school, and I'm like, really?
It's been in the 90s here. It has been so ridiculously hot for this time of year. I always sort of say, like, one of the nice things about living in the Atlanta area is that we really have four distinct seasons, and they really last about 3 months, but they tend to come like a month earlier than you expect. So we normally sort of think that if we're going to start getting fall weather, you know, the last half of August, and then we're going to start getting winter weather, you know, towards the end of November, and then we're going to start getting spring weather towards the end of February. And it's sort of everything kind of shifts a little bit. And it's been so hot here. Like, it's been hotter the last 2 weeks than it was all summer. So it's been interesting to sort of be in that, okay, wait, I have to get up early in the morning and I have to bring you to school. So I'm really excited to see your ebook.
Well, so you've seen the cover, which not everybody has, and you're excited about it. And I can promise you that the inside lives up to the standard of the cover. And, you know, we set the bar pretty high with our first ebook, Three-Phase Paleo, and it has been remarkably successful as far as ebooks go. And we wanted to make sure if we did another one that it was just as valid in terms of like what we felt like we could contribute to the community, as well as lived up to that high standard. So I saw the first kind of final PDF draft of it this weekend, and I can tell you that it is really great. I'm not worried about it at all. I think it will be wonderful, and I feel like people will be really happy with it in terms of both the information that we provide, some of the recommendations that we give, how we break things down, as well as all of the recipes that are included. So, and we've truly made it both for adults and for kids. So even if you don't have kids and you pack your lunch, it will be a helpful tool. So, because I pack my lunch every day, and so I wanted to make sure that I covered the things that I've learned about, you know, packing my lunch and the foods that I like to eat when I pack my lunch. So, yeah, I'm excited. And as soon as I have previews to share, I think, like, some of the changes that I gave over the weekend, Courtney, my team member who does our ebooks, is just finishing them. Like, she's literally texting me about some finishing touches right now. So we were hoping to get teaser pages up or even launch it tomorrow. So we'll see. But we will definitely be having you on the top VIP list to receive the, you know, early release preview copy. And then
it is seriously one of the perks of co-hosting a podcast with you. So I don't even ask if I can get a review copy. I just assume I'm going to get one.
Of course. Yeah. So it's been interesting, though, because this weekend we had hoped to launch this ebook in August, and it's just taken us a little bit longer. We wanted to make sure that it was right and that we weren't, you know, there's only so much I can do as a human. There's only so much Courtney can do as a human. And so we're doing it when we can, and we had anticipated that this would be done already. So And we had thought that Real Life Paleo would be done as well. And so this weekend, we scheduled vacation, and it was supposed to be like the last hurrah of the summer. And we were supposed to relax and kind of unwind.
Celebrating all your projects being done.
My competitions being over, traveling being over, like, okay, you know. No. So both of those books came in like Friday. We arrived at the vacation cabin Friday, and both of them were sent to us as PDFs to like edit and review. And Matt and I both just kind of shrugged and threw up our hands and were like, yeah, it's the way it goes. Like, of course, when we get to vacation.
It happened to me this year. Oh, wait, I scheduled my vacation for 2 days after the last day. And you told me the day that it had to go to the printer. I said, no, but what's the real day it has to go? What's the last day? And then it still went to the printer 2 weeks later while I was on vacation. Yeah. Yeah, I have found myself feeling very cynical the last couple of days. I think because I got sick, I got a cold last week.
Yeah, I saw that you were drinking some turmeric honey ginger concoction, lemon ginger
lemon,
concoction.
Yeah,
and I juiced. That sounds like it's legit. I need to get in on that.
I got a huge, like probably about a pound of fresh organic ginger, and then just a couple of turmeric roots, and then like a whole bag of organic lemons, and I threw it all into a juicer, and it made like 3 cups of this like super super concentrated, bright yellow stains everything to drink. And it was like too strong to sip. So I was like watering it down. It's actually really nice in mineral water, but like a couple of tablespoons in a glass of mineral water. So I don't know if that made a difference, but I was drinking it. And I think the biggest difference was my husband became like the hero of forever. And he, both Thursday and Friday, got up and got the kids off to school so I could stay in bed.
Nice.
That is, in our 11 years of marriage, the first time he's ever done that. So I was, like, blown away. I'm pretty sure it's because at the book release party Tuesday night, I gave, like, a thank you speech to everybody, which was pretty much, like, telling everybody how awesome my husband was. So I think he felt after that, like, oh, well, he could do more if that's the kind of appreciation he gets. So I got actually to have, you know, a couple of really good nights sleep. And then we went into the long weekend where we had talked at one point about going on a vacation and then really felt that money was too tight for us to be able to do that this weekend. And so we ended up having I don't even want to call it a staycation because I was sick for most of the weekend, but we did like a spring cleaning, but it's fall. And I've been basically ever since finishing the Paleo Approach cookbook and coming home from our vacation, I've been going through like corners of the house and cleaning out the garbage and the clutter that has just amassed over the last 2 years of me just trying to ignore everything so I could work on these books. And so this weekend we tackled the toys and the kids' bedrooms. And it was impressive.
Unearthing things from years ago that the children didn't even know that they had, I'm sure.
So that was one of the great things, because a whole pile of toys now have this like newfound life because I remember about that. And then we were able to, you know, box up. We brought a ton of toys to our CrossFit box because they're converting the locker room into a kid's playroom because they've realized that nobody uses the lockers, but lots of kids like to play back there. So they got rid of the lockers and they brought in a couch. So we brought actually like a toy organizer because once we had sort of cleaned stuff out, we're like, let's get rid of this. And then we don't have anywhere to put stuff. So that will hopefully make sure we don't get more stuff. So we brought that. We brought a bunch of toys. And then we have a bunch of boxes of toys that really my kids have outgrown. And we have that put aside to bring to Goodwill. And then most of that came out of my youngest daughter's bedroom. Out of my oldest daughter's bedroom, it was just trash. Bag after bag after bag of trash. It was unbelievable. I think she might be a hoarder. it just kept coming, and it was just like amazing. And she kept looking around. She goes, "I don't recognize my bedroom. My bedroom looks so strange." And we're like, "Cause it's clean for the first time in 2 years." It was, it was good. I think everyone kind of felt there was a sort of this agitation around the clutter. And then as we were getting rid of it, everyone started to feel more relaxed. So, pretty much the only thing I did all weekend, cause I was too sick Saturday and most of yesterday, really contemplate anything.
That sounds like an awesome weekend, because that's been, as we've discussed how many times, like on my to-do list for a very long time. So we have things that are still in Wesley's drawer. He's 4, that are 18 month size.
he's not an 18 month old size kid.
Right. And so like sometimes he'll put on the pants because it's like, if it's stretchy elastic waistband, like tracksuit pants, he's a very like lean child, and so he can make things fit in the waistband, but they're like capris, you know, like they come up to almost his knees, and he'll come out dressing himself in those clothes, and I'll be like, "Oh my gosh, I cannot believe we haven't cleaned out his drawers yet." So
yeah, we still have quite a few corners left to go, but I still thought we made a pretty darned good first pass at it. So but I found a 24 month size, like witch's costume and the dress up clothes. And I was like, why is this in here? This does not fit anybody. It doesn't even fit anybody's friends. there's some pretty interesting finds, including, you know, some really disgusting, like, really? This is in here. This is rotting. This is rotting food. Why is this in here? Yeah. And then a lot of like art projects that had been done and then just stuffed somewhere and have like long since like become broken and, you know, not recognizable. And it's just a, you know, jumbled mass of yarn and beads and tape. So that was good. And then I did go to CrossFit today. I'll figure out tomorrow if I think that was a good decision. I was feeling better when I woke up this morning and kind of feeling like I wanted to go out and move, which I haven't felt like doing that for a few days. So there's only one class today because of the holiday, and it was a hero wad, and we did Blake. And I scaled a little bit more than I would have scaled if I'd been feeling 100%, but it was really tough. And story that I don't know if I should share in a podcast, but here I go anyway. So I finished the wad, and I was like just pouring sweat. I was soaked. Everyone was soaked. And I kind of leaned against the pull-up rig and kind of just sat there with my water bottle, as you know, like not really, you know, sort of watching other people finish, but not really doing anything. And I just started to cry. And I just basically like put my head in, you know, underneath my arms and just cried. And then realized that the good thing about that was I was so sweaty. And my face was probably so red from the exertion that no one would be able to tell. But it was actually so, it wasn't because the wad was hard. I think it's been like a really emotional week for me, and kind of in combination with, and then being sick and trying to go through all of the emotional stuff sick. And it ended up being this like huge cathartic release, because when it was done, I actually felt like this sense of relief and I just felt perkier and a little bit more like myself. I think, I don't know if we want to talk about it on the show, but there's been some smack being talked about us by some people. And
I was thinking we should probably mention that. It's kind of a big deal.
It's kind of a big deal. And, you know, between all of the emotions that go along with book release, which I've been doing this week because my book has now been out for 6 whole days. So book release, late nights with parties.
Congratulations, by the way. I haven't talked to you formally, well, in front of other people to tell you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But yeah, I mean, the emotions this week and you being sick on top of.
Yeah. So so book release and all of the work and anticipation and, you know, like there's a lot of highs and lows that I think many authors experience with book release. So there was all of that. And then there was being sick, which is just miserable. And then this drama. And so then I went from that to this like really hard workout. And I think I just needed a good cry. Like it was just, I don't know. I think that's what I needed. I feel much better now. Do you want to talk about the drama?
So first I want to tell you that that is totally normal and
to have a good cry after a hero wad.
Yeah, not just hero wads, but like in general, Viv and I actually call it the feels on Strong Women Radio because sometimes you just cry because like you did something that you didn't realize you could do, or you cry because other things are happening. And when you have all those hormones like rush through, it's just your body's reaction. So just to clarify, like, I think of it as not a big deal.
So. That's cool. That's the first time it's happened to me. I had one other wad that made me cry, but it was like frustration because the wad was so hard and I just couldn't get my body to do it. And I was just so angry at myself that I couldn't do it. This was tough, but I got through it. I had a really good time. I mean, I did scale, but I've just been sick. So, you know, it wasn't good the time or the place to try an RX a wad for the first time. Yeah, but I just, like, it was this pretty, like, uncontrollable, like, release of good thing the music was loud type crying. Like, it was, and I don't think anybody noticed. Well, I think one guy noticed but didn't know exactly what to say, so he just kind of gave me that smile. It's like that really awkward, like, hey, I saw you cry. I hope you're better now. But I'm not going to say anything, smiles. So, Luke, I saw you. You smiled at me. But yeah, I think it was just everyone else was in their own, like if they were done, they were in their own place of exhaustion or they weren't done yet. And but it's kind of weird to cry alone in a room full of like 40 people. It's kind of a strange, I don't think I've had that experience before.
I always like walk out on the dock. Like
I had just finished Blake, so there was no walking happening by me at that time. It took me a good half hour before my car didn't seem so far away in the closest parking spot to the box. Like, yeah, it was tough. It was the weighted walking lunges, just holy smokes. Those are no joke.
So this thing, let me just start because you will so much more eloquently talk about it. So I'll talk about kind of what led up to you finding it a little bit. So
yeah, you were in it for a few days before I was.
Well, which was interesting because, I mean, I just generally wasn't trying to make a big deal out of it because, I mean, on one hand, I wanted to address individuals who were being really rude and out of place. We'll put that lightly. On the other hand, I didn't want to give more attention to somebody that didn't deserve attention, which is where this, like, where we all kind of live in this gray area when these kinds of things blow up is like, okay, well, on the one hand, I want to address it because for the people who have seen it, I want to, like, you know, but I want to address it and make sure that people know that like it's not okay to talk to people that way. And on the other hand, I feel like addressing it only gives those people more attention and more downloads and more whatever in order for people to see what they're doing. So what happened, as far as I knew, was that last week or the week before, there was an FDA... No, you know what? It was a week after AHS, so that had to have been 2 weeks ago. There was an FDA publication put out that one of the, and I'm using quotation marks, paleo bakeries is not being truthful on their labels. And I don't want to go into details. I don't want to make a statement about whether or not I think that's true or not true. And there was a paleo blogger that shared that link and talked about his feelings on it. And then there was another paleo blogger that came out that said, you know, I never endorsed this company to begin with. I didn't really have good vibes about them. And this is now I've been validated because these findings came out. then that company went public and started bashing those two individuals who happened to be two of the biggest names in the paleo, low-carb, real food movement. And when I mean bashing, I don't just mean like saying a little bit bad things.
No, about things. They were viciously attacking with personal and petty insults.
That weren't even factual.
Yes.
It was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the male responded, but I do know that the female responded by coming out and saying, this is not okay. Here's why it's not okay. You know, you say that I'm fat. Here are pictures of myself. But even if I was fat, like, what does that have to do with the place that I have in this movement giving information? And it only fueled more fire, because what happened is all of the people that commented on, okay, I'll say all of the bloggers who commented on this individual's post on her business page, the company ended up then attacking those people. And I happen to be one of those people. I happen to also have not endorsed this company, particularly because A, the ingredients aren't even paleo, and B, I didn't hear positive things about how they operated their business, hence what is happening today. So I came on and I said, I can't believe that they would talk to you that way. I had said nothing about the business personally. I simply said, like, it's not okay to, you know, come out as a business and talk about other people this way. And then I found myself as a target of this company's negative attacks. And I posted on Instagram a screenshot of something that someone had said, and they called me a false prophet, and they called me, I don't know, they probably called me fat. I don't even remember, because it didn't even, like, I didn't even care that much. Only I cared was that it was inappropriate, it was out of line, and it was really unacceptable for business to talk about anybody that way. Like, the fact that they're representing themselves as a business and talking about people in the community that they want us to endorse and purchase their product is just utterly ridiculous to me. But so then what happened is, Sarah, you're associated with me. So
yes. I was keeping my nose out of it. I hadn't commented on
it. I didn't even know about it at that point, because you texted me and you were like, what is this deal with this person who said this thing about me? And I was like, oh, they called you a prophet. Like, that means that they're associated with this business. And then you had to go back and read it all. Like, you genuinely didn't even know what it was, let alone you hadn't commented.
Sick and releasing a book. I was ignoring everything else because I really had more on my plate than I could handle at the moment. And then I ended up like, well, okay, wait, you've just called me, you know, too fat to be an educator and a role model for people. Hello. Like, do you have any idea what my story is or what I've talked about or how, like, what my blog is about or anything? And I ended up then spending like a couple of hours catching up on like nearly a week's worth of drama. And I was really emotional. And it took me a long time. It took me.
Because they were mean.
They were mean. It was not, there was no mincing words. It was not nice. It was a very personal attack, which, you know, has since been taken down. Although you can check it out on my Instagram. I had that, you know, that I try really hard not to engage. So if I have somebody who has a really, really strong opinion that they're sharing all over my Facebook, if they're not being, you know, particular crude or offensive, but I just disagree with them, I let them be. I let them have that opinion. And I'm not the kind of blogger who just, you know, bans people all over the place because they're sharing an opinion that I disagree with. So I really firmly believe that everyone should have the right to express their own opinions. But at the same time, you know, I think it's really important to respect others and to treat others the way that you would want to be treated. And there's always ways of framing different opinions in a constructive and polite way. And that's what I'm trying to encourage on all of my social media sites with everybody who is commenting on things, that we try and keep it a conversation, that it's not an argument, it's not an attack, it's not an insult, that, you know, this is where we get to, you know, feel comfortable having these conversations, and it's when you are having a conversation about something, that's when you're open to new information. You're open to changing your mind. So this was like clearly not that. This was clearly just a personal attack with one of those like, I'm sorry to say this, but, and I like to remind people that if you have to apologize before you say something, then maybe you shouldn't say it.
Truth.
So I was offended, and I was kind of humming and hawing about how I was going to respond. You know, I posted on Instagram, which was sort of like my first initial response, trying to figure out if I was going to reply to this comment on Facebook. And then as I started to get more context of how, because really what they said to me was nowhere near as bad as what they had said to the first two bloggers that they started attacking. So I started to put it in this context, and I just felt like I needed to say something, because not only, are they having these like vicious attacks that, seem to imply that, as bloggers and authors, it was almost like that we don't really eat paleo, or that, if we did really eat paleo, we'd be thinner, that we can't, you can't trust our information because, we don't look perfect. And by the way, especially the first blogger, they were talking about like, what? And then,
exactly. They used like a freeze frame shot of some presentation, which by the way, they didn't have the rights to, which I hope that the people who own those rights go after them. But they used like a freeze frame shot of a video of someone like in motion in like an awkward thing. I mean, I've seen TV superstars, when I pause my TV to go to the restroom, look worse than what they had this person looking like. Like, it was just ridiculous,
So, I mean, so that was also, whole other part of this whole shenanigan. So I really felt like I needed to say something, but very much like you, I did not want to get this company I didn't want to give them traffic. I didn't want to give them any kind of spotlight. And I just wanted to talk about what healthy actually looks like. Because part of this whole thing was this really superficial judgment of us and judging the quality of our information based on, how many inches our waistlines are. And it gave no accommodation for our health histories. It gave no, it basically drew a straight line between if you look good, then what you say to do must be right. And, I think all of us are talking about such nuanced information when it comes to how food and lifestyle affects health. And I think we all have this very, balanced and very scientific approach to understanding health. And so to say that our information is somehow invalid because we don't look like actresses. And I kind of wanted to talk about like, it's not about how we look. Like that's not the metric of health. It might be a metric of health, might be one criteria in an entire collection of criterion that there's so much more to health than how thin we are. And to be sort of, tangentially accused of, well, then if your information is good, clearly you're not following it or something along those lines, I just thought was really disrespectful. And especially when, I am, and I know you are too, Stacey, we are both so open about what we eat, how we live, how much sleep we're getting, how much stress we're under, that we're so open about our lives with the public, in part because we're trying to help people who have similar struggles. And that's something I feel really passionately about, that I don't just share my successes, that I also share my struggles, because that might be better information for somebody out there than, yeah, I did this and it worked and it was great. And so to have someone, basically saying that, my role as a health advocate and educator is not valid because I'm not thin enough. I went on a rant.
It was an awesome rant. As a self-proclaimed rant-obsessed person, I was super impressed. I was like fist pumping you and sharing that on my personal page. I was like, I love Sarah. I'm so happy to be associated with her.
It did kind of go viral. It was my most shared, commented, and seen post ever.
That's hardcore because you have like ginormous media.
More than twice as many people as like my page saw that post.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was pretty intense. And what I did is I showed a picture of me from, you know, my heaviest, which was 10 years ago, and a picture of me taken a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, they're both sort of like knee up type pictures. And I gave a bit of the background and the history of, you know, what was going on and what has been said. And then I really encouraged people to start a conversation about body image and a conversation about health and what health looks like. Because when we start telling people that they're not thin enough to give information or they're not thin enough to do anything for that matter, this is one of the things that's seriously wrong with our society. And it's one of the things that is causing eating disorders in our youth. And it's one of the things that is making people, you know, miserable and unhealthy. And then they're making, you know, they're making worse diet choices because they're so unhappy. And it was, you know, for me, I was a kid who thought I was fat for years before I actually was. And it was being depressed and feeling like an outcast because of how fat I was when I was maybe 5 pounds heavier than the other kids that created in me the vicious circles of, you know, binge eating and secret closet eating that became obesity for me. And so I'm really conscientious of how that message can affect kids and teenagers and, you know, anybody out there who is already dealing with low self-esteem. That is absolutely the wrong message to be giving. And it completely contradicts everything that I try to, you know, to say in terms of educating people about health, because mental health is so phenomenally important for physical health. And to have that negativity is just not, I mean, it's not good for your mental health. It perpetuates into physical health. So I shared a link to Body Image Movement, which is something that I think is amazing. And I tried to make the statement that, you know, as a community, we need to be changing the perception of what is healthy. We need to be changing the metric for what is success, and we need to be sharing our own personal stories. And the thing that just amazed me about that post that I didn't expect was how many people then commented with their before and after photos or with their stories of what a paleo diet has done for them. And for some people, it wasn't that they lost weight. For some people, they needed to gain weight and they were able to gain weight. For some people, they reversed diseases. For some people, they lowered their cholesterol. Some people had just started their journey. For some people, have been doing it for years. And there was so much positivity and so much sort of rallying of the community and sharing these stories. And that is what people need to see when people are trying to figure out what positive diet or lifestyle change they're going to make. They don't need to see that I'm, you know, a size 2 and I have, you know, these like super cut muscles and, you know, and perfectly made up with my hair perfect all the time. They need to see the success story. They need to see that I reversed 12 health conditions, that I lost 120 pounds, that I'm healthy and that I'm energetic and that I sleep well and that I'm strong and that I'm not the only one. And then there's this huge community of thousands of people with those same stories from making these types of diet and lifestyle changes. And so, so it was, it was a very proud moment for me because I was able to turn something that was really hurtful and that made me feel very upset into this really positive conversation. It was kind of by accident. I was mostly just trying to – I was mostly just ranting, really. But
no, I think you were ranting eloquently, and I think for me, because I was on vacation and it was all happening remotely and I was, like, doing things on my phone while I was in a Sheets bathroom, I wasn't able to be.
Bathroom?
A what?
What bathroom? A Sheets bathroom? Okay, finish your thought, and then you can tell me what a Sheets bathroom is.
It's a gas station.
Oh.
Don't.
Okay.
Like, between the... Anyway, okay.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. So, I think for me, you know, I talk so much about body positivity and body image in a lot of what I do, and I think for Katie, my team member, it really bothered her more than it even bothered me because she was like, are you kidding? Like, all of... we also got this, like, open letter website that she's drafting a response for the same day that was basically saying, I don't do enough for... positive body image, and it really, like, the two things just really bothered Katie and was like, of all the things that you do and talk about on your blog, in media, in podcasts about, you know, women really focusing on health and, you know, respecting themselves and loving themselves. And I mean, how many times have we talked about that?
Every week.
Right. To be faced with someone who's like, you're not skinny enough. I mean, it was really easy for me to be like, well, you just lost any credibility that you might have ever had with me by saying that, because I don't give you an ounce of, like, interest or respect if that's how you're going to talk to me. Like, I have absolutely no interest in continuing this conversation. So for me, I just brushed it off. But what was interesting is, you know, the first post where I said what the person said to me and how I felt about it, I got like an average number of media shares. But the second post where I kind of talked about, here I am, this is what I look like, and I don't really care what people think because I'm more interested in how I feel than in what other people think. You know, that really resonated with people. And like you, I also got a ton of people who responded in not just their own success, but in how many women have been inspired by us to focus on their own health and to stop worrying about what the scale says. And that, to me, is it makes what we're doing, like, valid and worthwhile. Now, I mean, of course, everything is worthwhile in different capacities in terms of, like, writing books and all those kinds of things. And I'm not trying to slight the different things that we do. But for me, I put a lot of time and energy into sharing those personal feelings of myself that would be much easier not to share. And so,
yeah.
You know, to hear back from people that it has made a difference and that it has inspired them to find self-love and that it has inspired them to be brave enough to step inside of a CrossFit box and that they have found health and strength and all these different things because we've been willing to put ourselves out there despite what people say about us. It makes them feel strong enough that if someone talks badly about them, that they have an ally and that they don't feel worried. Hearing from all of these women who, specifically women, but actually there were a couple of men as well who commented both on behalf of themselves and on behalf of their wives, saying how much we have affected themselves, like their lives as well. It just made me even more confident and comfortable in the fact that I did not care one iota about what this stupid comment was. And I was like, I don't care how many times someone tells me I'm a fat false prophet. I don't care. Like, I don't care. Because there are hundreds of thousands of people who are finding the opposite to be true between the two of us, you know, which is essentially what people were telling us. So, I'm glad that we were able to address it and create some positivity from it, which is what I've heard over and over again is, you know, people understanding and respecting that we could have really, you know, taken it in a negative way and bashed people and done whatever, but we really, you know, we tried to create something positive and helpful from it, and people, it worked for people. And so I saw that you're going to continue to kind of do this.
Yeah, I thought, I kind of felt like it was a conversation that needed to have some continued momentum. So I posted, you know, about sort of tangential topics about metrics of health yesterday, and I'm going to continue to do that for as long as I have ideas for how to continue that conversation. I just feel like, you know, as we're talking about what to do to be healthy, we should also be talking about what healthy is. And it's not the same as being thin. That doesn't mean that thin is unhealthy, but it's way more complex than that.
Yeah. The two can go hand in hand and the two can be very opposite. I mean, it's just, I think it's a great conversation. I think it's a conversation we've been having. I just think it's a different medium to do it in. So I'll be interesting to see how that goes. And I think it's a great idea. So
I think it's also something that I think because of the, because of all of the very public comments that were sort of leading up to this, it became a conversation that people really wanted to engage in. So it wasn't even necessarily that the type of things that we were talking about was that different, but I just think that the paleo community just really wanted to, you know, change that conversation from, you know, all of the negative comments and whether or not those were valid to, you know, let's talk about this really positive and important thing. So I think it was kind of also, you know, the community as a whole was ready to be directed towards that type of conversation. So, so now we just need to keep it going.
So I think we've kind of covered this topic endlessly.
Yes. Do you want to talk about school as a segue to the adorable interview with Cole?
I mean, do we need it? I feel like we did talk about it in the beginning. So just to kind of remind everybody, we already recorded the interview with my son, who will not be talking about body image because I hope that that's not a concern for him. I think what was interesting about this interview for me, something that I wasn't aware of, is kind of his approach is just to not talk about his food at all with people and try to make it a non-issue. And I don't know that I necessarily disagree with that, but I think it's a good information for me to, as his parent, engage in some future conversations, you know, through the course of this week and future weeks and months, to make sure that he is feeling positive and comfortable in his choices so that, you know, my concern with some of his answers to these questions in the interview that you're about to hear are that he just basically is like shutting down and not wanting to deal with it. And that's probably coming from some bad experiences. I happen to know, and I think we did kind of get those answers from him at the end, that it's not all negative and he does have friends who, you know, are positive and interested. I think his answers are more from the perspective of that first week before you know who everybody is and who's nice and who's not nice, that's kind of his approach. So, like I said, just, I think it's important to talk about parenting techniques in the context of these kinds of things. And as Sarah, you indicated earlier, I'm 100% kind of open and transparent, and, I'm not going to hide, you know, his answers or try to, cover them up or in some sort of way. But I think the benefit that everybody can have from this is that, you know, asking these questions from Cole in kind of an honest way. And I think anybody could, you know, ask these kinds of questions of their kid and hearing their responses. You know, I'm really proud of the information that he'll share with you. I think it's refreshing. It's perfectly fine it's family friendly. And I hope that, other children benefit from kind of his thoughts. The only concern that I have is I want to make sure that he feels, and this has been a concern for, you know, 5 years now, is that he feels comfortable with the food choices that he has. And he doesn't feel, like an ostracized outcast or some sort of thing where he needs to sit in a corner by himself and not talk to people. And I genuinely don't feel that that's what's happening. I know that he eats at a table with people during the school year. So, but I will continue that dialogue. And I think it's important for us as parents to really have that open dialogue with our kids about, you know, how's it going? How's your day? And, you know, kids I find will always just say yes, no, or good, great, fine, if you ask them that sort of question. So I try to ask open-ended questions like, what was your favorite part about today? Or what was your least favorite part about today? Or what happened today at lunchtime? Or, you know, did you make a new friend today? What's their name? Blah, 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 blah. So that, the conversation kind of opens a little bit the way that the interview with him does that you'll listen to. So, yeah, I don't know. Sarah, you have further thoughts that you want to share, having already had your children in school for a month?
I definitely, you know, I've had similar conversations with my kids. Their experiences are very different because they haven't had the bullying experience that Cole has had. So they don't have that fear in the background what if this kid then, you know, goes on to tease me and be really mean. So their experience is quite different from that respect because they haven't had that experience yet. And I hope they never do. But you know, I think mostly when I have those conversations with my kids, it turns to not that they feel that how they eat is particularly different. They like the food that I pack them. They don't feel, you know, ostracized. They don't feel particularly like they have to justify what they're eating. My oldest daughter gets asked, she gets cold hot dogs in her lunch, and she gets asked what they are very often. Kids don't seem to recognize it without the bun around it. She gets, right, because we don't eat buns. So she, you know, she kind of gets annoyed that she has to always answer this question. I think the rest of her lunch looks very recognizable. But what always ends up coming up is other kids have, you know, junk food, basically. Other kids have cookies. Other kids have candy bars. Other kids have, you know, chips in bags. And when I try to have that conversation, it typically comes to, well, I would really like to have cookies in my lunch like the other kids. And then that becomes sort of a balance of, well, you know, it's okay if we have a treat occasionally, but that's not a healthy food to have in your lunch every day. And so then, you know, we end up having more of a conversation about, you know, nutrients and, you know, sugar. And my kids, you know, especially my oldest, does not do well with a lot of sugar. And she doesn't do well with chocolate because she's really sensitive to caffeine. She really, really doesn't do well with food dyes. Like, there's really, you know, the things that she would like to be eating that look, you know, that are the things that her kids are, or her peers are eating, are not foods that she would respond well to. So then we have to have this whole, like, well, what would be a treat? And where can we find some kind of compromise between something that I feel, you know, is not going to wreck her behavior, wreck her ability to sleep at night, but something that's making her feel like she's, you know, she's sort of comparable. And then we sort of end up with something like Annie's fruit snacks, or Trader Joe's organic lollipop, or, you know, sometimes it is like a paleo cookie. And it's, you know, like maybe, you know, what'll end up happening is they'll say, okay, well, I'll put it in your lunch tomorrow. And then I just don't do it again until it becomes an issue again. So it becomes a sort of infrequent thing. And we've actually, you know, my kids have been in school for a month and we've only done a treat in the lunch once so far this year. It's interesting because that's kind of a different battle that my kids have, is still seeing junk food that other kids are eating and wanting to be able to eat something similar. So it's not that they dislike what they're eating. It's not like they feel, you know, that they're different, but they want this really delicious looking food. And so that's our primary struggle with lunches and snacks, is how to have something that's healthy, that's going to regulate their blood sugar, that's going to be nutrient dense, that's going to, you know, support good behavior and good sleep and all that other stuff, and still have them feel like, you know, they're getting the treat that other kids are getting. And I don't know if I have a really great answer for that yet. It's still something that I keep trying something different and seeing what works.
So part of what we've done in Paleo to Go is we have utilized with credit your amazing idea for having a favorites list at the beginning of the school year. And we've created like a blank form that people can fill out with the ideas that our kids use for their favorite list as well for recommendations. I think that's a really good thing that I haven't heard you talk about that kind of helps people figure out what to pack in their own children's lunches so that it's not a battle every morning. So just to kind of refresh.
We haven't talked. You know what? We haven't actually done one this year. We got into such a groove with.
Like you knew it from what it was last year.
Yeah. We got into such a groove with like, here's our repertoire of convenient, healthy lunch foods. And here's how I put together lunches that we just kind of slid right into that again this year. But maybe what I need to be doing is making a list of that. That's, you know, with my kids that are the treat foods that they.
Treats is one of the categories that we've put on there. So, they can tell you what their favorites are and you guys can agree to put them on the list and you know that they can be in any lunch without, you know, someone getting upset. So you can even use the preview sheet that's going to be sent to you from Paleo2Go in a few days. Print it out and put it on your refrigerator, Sarah.
I just might do that because that sounds like a really great time saver and very convenient and organized.
That's and our goal.
Thanks for throwing the credit my way. I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, it was totally your idea. And as soon as you said it, like what, last year or whatever, I was like,
we did it. Genius. We did it before kindergarten. So this, if we do it this year, this will be our third year. Yeah. We did it for before kindergarten and before first grade. I also made my kid write it all herself because I'm that kind of a mean mommy who makes her do her own handwriting.
Well, I think that's
she really wanted to
categories and then lines. And then also in the book, we've included some of the paleo foods that belong in those categories. So we've got protein ideas, like, you know, some of the meats that we talk about in the interview, as well as like hard boiled eggs and some of the other protein ideas. And then we've got some ideas for fats, because I think one of the things that was lacking, that we were lacking in trying to figure out what to put in lunches were fats. Like we didn't want to put in nuts in their lunches every day. So we've got a list of like paleo friendly fats that you can include, as well as fruits and veggies, so that a kid can, and treats. And we've got treat recipes, of course, in there, as well as some convenient treats that we recommend. And so they've got both a list of, okay, these are some ideas. And of course, everybody's going to have additional ideas that, you know, work for them. And then we've got what our kids' favorites are. And then we've got the blank one for another kid to fill out. So there should be plenty of ideas for someone to kind of come up with, even if you're new to paleo and your kid's just like, no, all I want's, you know, fruit roll-ups with red food dye and high fructose corn syrup. Hopefully, you know, they can find something on the list that they like. And then you know that, okay, if I put this in their lunch, they will like it and they won't complain. That's the agreed upon list is we should call it the no complaint list, but I think it's called kids' favorites or something.
The no complaint list would be a good name for it. Quick rebrand.
Cool.
Well,
so you think
I think we should bring Cole on an hour ago.
An hour ago. Well, it's been nice having the foresight of what he's going to say.
It's made for the most, yes, insightful segue ever.
All right. Okay, we can hear you better.
Yeah, sorry. I basically have two computers that are both half functional.
Awesome.
Yeah, it is really great. So, so helpful.
Well, I have Coley here.
Hey, Cole.
Hi.
Are you excited about school tomorrow?
No.
Thanks for your honesty.
So, Cole, I think it would be really cool if you talked a little bit about some of the meals that you saw us make and you helped us choose for the ebook about packing lunches and packing snacks and some of your favorite things that we kind of thought were good ideas for packing lunches. And then maybe also one of the questions that we get from people all the time is how to help children not feel so different when their lunch looks different from other people's lunches. So maybe if you can talk a little bit about how you handle that situation or what you put in your lunch to make you feel not different so that other kids can listen to the podcast and, use your ideas for themselves. What do you think?
Well, I fit in just great. What food I eat and other stuff, but what I usually do is my parents usually get like gluten-free bread if I want, like a sandwich or something.
If you're feeling like you want to fit in mm-hmm. on a special day or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you mean by usually I fit in?
I just eat what I eat, and no one seems to notice me, because...
And you don't make it a big deal? They don't make it a big deal?
Yeah, because they don't really talk to me that much. Just don't talk to them, and they won't talk to you, and you'll be just fine.
You mean the mean people?
Mm-hmm, and everyone else. Don't talk to anyone, and you'll be just great.
Just hang out with your own friends who like you, no matter what?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's good advice. Because your friend shouldn't be mean to you and judge you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when you did have someone at your lunch table who was being a bully about your lunch?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what it was that they were making fun of? Can you tell people?
Well, he was... He was, whenever I want to play with him, he just says, no, there's too many players already. When there's only, like, 5 people.
So he was kind of a bully, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was being a bully about your lunch?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what the food was that he was being a bully about?
Everything.
Yeah? I remember there was one food in particular that was kind of stinky that you decided you weren't going to include in your lunch anymore because you didn't want him to make fun of it.
Oh, yeah, guac.
Was it guac? I thought it was seaweed. It was stinky.
Both.
Oh, he made fun of guac, too. Anything green, huh? Maybe he just needed more vegetables and then he'd be less cranky. So, what was your solution? What did you do?
I just stopped taking it for the rest of the year. And then after that year, he got held back. So that just meant that I could bring whatever I wanted.
And you didn't have to worry about him. Cool. And you haven't had any problems with anybody else, right?
Mm-mm.
In fact, one time I came to lunch with you, and I remember your friends wanting to try some of your special foods. Right? They were kind of jealous because the rule at school is you can't share.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember? They said they were curious about some of the foods that you had because they'd never seen them or tried them before. What are your favorite... If you had to choose 5 foods, what are your favorite 5 foods to pack in lunch?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be things we have in the house because I know we don't have everything in the house.
Apples. Sandwiches.
Sometimes you put sandwiches on something that's paleo and not gluten-free bread. Do you want to tell people about the wraps that you put your sandwiches on?
Oh, yeah. There's these things called pure wraps. I put them in it, and then I put sun butter and other stuff that I like in it.
So you make kind of a peanut butter and jelly wrap, but it's not really peanut butter, right?
Mm-hmm. Like a taco.
Okay, so sandwiches. What was the first thing? Apples. What are a few more things?
I sort of like taking carrots and seaweed.
Because mommy always says you have to have a vegetable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
And sometimes I take... I forgot the name. But I take stuff that I like, and I don't talk to people, and I'm doing just fine at lunch.
Cool. Well, some other ideas that I know that are your favorite are black olives.
Mm-hmm.
canned pineapple.
Love it.
You like to make your own trail mix with, like, nuts and dried fruit and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. I also like, raisins.
Yeah. Oh, you should tell people about the recipe that you made for the ebook with sun butter and raisins.
Oh, yeah. In the new book that we're about to make, there's the thing that I made in it. Ants on Logs.
What is it?
It is celery with sun butter in the middle. And then you put three or more raisins on top of it.
And you were able to make it yourself, all by yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a vegetable, and it has...
fruit.
Yeah, and it has fruit and protein and fat in it. It's a good snack, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you can think of in the new book that we made when we were shooting all those lunches or snacks that you want to share with people? You like the black olive dip that we made, right? With the plantain chips?
Mm-hmm. I, also... Well, that's it.
You like the muffins that you just had left over for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Harvest muffins?
Yeah. Pistachios. Cranberries, I think. Maybe raisins.
Cranberries, zucchinis, and carrots are in them, too. Sneaky, huh? But it didn't taste like vegetables. It tasted good. Yeah.
Cole, can I ask you what kind of meat you like to put in your lunch? Like, what kind of protein do you like? Do you like meat or, like, canned tuna?
Salami.
Hmm?
I like salami and other stuff.
What did you put in your lunch for tomorrow?
Hot dog.
A U.S. Wellness Meats hot dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you like to take leftover chicken. Or Daddy made that really good roast beef for the new book that we sliced up.
Mm-hmm.
You like that, right?
I didn't take them, though. I didn't eat it.
Well, we didn't take it, but yeah, it was good. And then you also like to take lunch meat. Like, we get Applegate Farms or the Whole Foods lunch meats. What are your favorites of those that we get all the time?
Prosciutto.
Prosciutto. and we also get, sometimes we get mortadella with the pistachios in it. Or we get the ham. Those, and the roast beef. Those are the ones that we found that don't have the junk in them, right? Don't touch the mic. Don't touch the microphone.
Touch.
but usually, sometimes you guys just take leftover, like, chicken and stuff from the fridge. Yeah, chicken legs. You and Finn love to take cold chicken legs.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you wanted to tell people, or you want to see if Sarah has more questions?
I have another question for you.
What?
What do you have a snack when you're at school?
Mm-hmm.
What do you like to pack for snacks?
Well, I usually take nothing, but if I can, and if I don't eat all my lunch, sometimes I take Epic Bars, sometimes I take, Steve's Original Bars, and then I like,
sometimes you just take apple squeezers, right?
Yeah.
Because they're quick and easy to grab. Yeah, it was funny. Upstairs when we were packing his lunch, Cole asked me if Epic made anything other than bars. And I told him that they made the Gather bars, but they're not his favorite. So he said that Epic needs to make more stuff because he likes the Epic bars a lot.
What's your favorite flavor, Cole?
Either bison or, if the lamb didn't have currants, I would like that, but I like the bison a lot.
Yeah, I think the bison's really good.
The only one they don't like is the beef, just because it's spicy. But they always fight over the bison.
Good. Well, I had one more question for you, Cole. So what do you do if there's a birthday in the classroom?
Well, in the beginning of the school year, I take snacks that I can have, like special snacks, like desserts. And I give it to the teacher to say, I'm allergic to wheat, and she'll just put it in a spot where I can't get it, and
like in the teacher's cabinet, right?
would you go get it? Would you do that?
If I'm super hungry, yeah. and then when it's on a birthday, I would just take it. I would ask the teacher, can I have my snack? And she would just bring it down.
What's the paleo snack that you like to bring? That stays good on the shelf?
Caveman cookies.
Yeah.
What's your favorite flavor of caveman cookies?
New World.
Oh, yeah, that's my kid's favorite, too.
You like the original, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the two that we like. And then sometimes, if Mommy and Daddy have run out of caveman cookies, we'll get,
Tate's
gluten-free chocolate chip cookies from the store, because they just have rice flour and sugar in them. And they sit on the shelf.
Just like the caveman cookies.
Yeah, so because you only have, you know, one every, like, month or something, it's not a big deal.
Miss Fowler let me have two or three.
Of the caveman cookies, because they were small, right?
And the Tate's.
Oh, my goodness. You've got those teachers whipped around your fingers. What else? What's the hardest thing for you about this
school,
lifestyle?
Eating. Like, people would judge me if I talk to them. Like, they won't really, like, judge me. They'll say, what is that? It looks disgusting or something like that.
And how do you handle that situation?
I just stop talking to them.
Yeah? You just decide it's easier to not be friends with people who are mean? Do you ever try to explain to people what's in your lunchbox? Or
no.
No? How come?
Because they'll just stop talking in the middle, and they'll just stop listening to me in the middle of it, because it's just boring, boring, boring. I'd rather eat.
So they ask you the question, but they don't want to listen to you?
Mm-hmm.
So you decide not to answer. But you have a group of friends that you do sit with, that you do talk to, that aren't mean,
well,
right?
Now they're not in my class,
right?
So.
So you'll have to find a new group, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think your strategy with who you're going to sit with at lunch tomorrow will be, since you don't know the people in your classroom yet?
Well, I won't,
Without saying people's names.
I'll just sit down and at recess I'll find a friend.
And just see who you talk to and how mm-hmm. it works out, and then start sitting with them?
Like, how I found my first a friend is, he was playing tag and he let me join in, so.
I think that's a really good piece of advice for people, is trying not to make it always about food, you know, to make your friends with people on the playground or in other
just,
areas.
Just, ignore people at lunchtime so that they don't, like, know, so that they, they don't know what you eat in. And other stuff, so, and then after that, you just head out to recess, and then you find yourself a friend.
And then over time, you start having friendly lunch with the people who you've made friends with?
Mm-hmm. Over time, like, after a week, you can
go
to their table.
Yeah, you'll know who your friends are after a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, is there anything else you wanted to tell people, or is there anything else, Sarah, you wanted to ask?
Yeah. So, Cole, you said that you don't like talking about what you're eating, but if you've got a friend that you're making and then they want to ask you about the food in your lunch, then do you tell them?
No, because then it won't really work out, because as I said earlier, boring. I'd rather eat.
But now, if your friend asked you and was interested in listening and not just being mean, like if he said, "Hey, what is that? I've never seen it before. I want to get that in my lunchbox." How would he react?
I would say, this is this, and I got it from here, and I got it from this place, and, like, this is an Epic bar. I got it from the Epic website.
Yeah.
It also sells other bars.
Mm-hmm. Because when I've eaten lunch with you, your friends have been curious about what you eat, and they ask me nicely, not mean, some of the things that are in your lunchbox.
Some people are jealous that you own a website.
Oh, really? That's why they ask me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you tell them that we own a website?
No. I don't tell them. Well, I did once, but... Yeah.
Is that why? You think they ask you these questions?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever tell them that you like to make recipes and that you have recipes on the website?
No.
No? I think it's really cool that you make recipes.
Yeah. Well, I don't make them that often. But I make them, and people are sometimes jealous, about it, so.
That's okay. That probably just means they're curious and they want to know more, right?
Mm-hmm. So,
I can't think of any right now. I guess that means you should go get ready for school tomorrow, huh? By getting a good night's sleep.
I'm already ready. All I needed to is...
climb in bed?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it was really cool that you decided to share this information with people on the day before your first day of school. I hope that you have a really great day at school and that you're able to make friends who are nice and that food isn't a big deal. I know also that there are other children in your class who have food allergies and who bring their lunches.
Mm-hmm. Like, in the kindergarten class, someone had an egg allergy. So they brought fruit snacks for
special treats?
Yeah.
So it's less of a big deal, right? Because other people have these mm-hmm. kinds of things. And I know in Finney's class last year, there were people with nut allergies that had to have special foods too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you just try to not make it a big deal and make friends and don't worry about it?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is definitely time to put you to bed, my friend. I'm going to go tuck you in, Finney, and Sarah and I will resume when I get back. Well, Sarah, this is kind of a long show. I think before we recorded, we said we were going to try to make it a quick show because I needed to work. It was a school night. But I think we've discussed, like, basically two show topics in one show in terms of, like...
There was a lot to talk about this week. A lot went down this week.
No science this week, but I think...
It's because I have not completed my research on Lacuma powder.
Oh, that's right. Well, I feel like you were busy spending that amount of research time on figuring out the whole debacle of this giant drama saga. So
the drama sapped hours and hours and hours of my time.
I know. It was really a waste of our time, which is why I tried to just ignore it. Like, I don't have time.
I was happily in my little space of like oblivion, you know, not paying any attention to it, keeping my nose out of it. They brought me into it.
Just because you were in a photo with me. Just crazy. Anyway, okay, moving on. I'm glad we were able to discuss all those things. Hopefully you enjoyed Cole's interview. I happen to think that my son's adorable. And while I was like standing here next to him on the interview, I have to tell you, he's got like his hand on his chin with like his fingers curled under, like scratching his chin as he was thinking about how to answer your questions. It was like the most adorable thing. So
I hope you Instagrammed that.
I didn't. I've been trying to kind of detox a little on the amount of Instagramming I've been doing, just because I feel like I've been missing out on life trying to take so many photos of life. I did take an Instagram of him sending you the message at the end, because that was adorable.
That was adorable. So for one more reminder for our listeners.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to see you next weekend. I'm going to see you like, today, whenever this is.
Yes. When this airs, I will be on a plane tonight. So we are doing a joint event in Philadelphia area. Do you remember the name of the bookstore?
I can pull it up and Matt can cut this out. Hold on. Why, yes, I do. Chester County Book Company in Westchester, Pennsylvania.
And we'll be there at 1 o'clock. Are we there at 1?
Yes, 1 o'clock.
And I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I think we should do like a little talk and like a little Q&A while we're there. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think we're entertaining when we're together, so we should give people a show.
I think sometimes we're entertaining when we're apart. We're just a lot more entertaining when we're together. Because you get to see the eye rolls and the glares. The awkward stares, the refusal to make eye contact. and we are, as of this recording, still trying to figure out an event in the DC area for Sunday. But I've been telling people, if you live in the DC area and you know that you would drive into the suburbs somewhere to come hang out with us and get your book signed, no matter where it is, then please email my assistant Tamar and let her know that you would like an email with the event details once we have it figured out. Her email address is tamar@thepaleomom.com. And just let her know that you would like to come and you would just like to know where to go. It'll be almost certainly early afternoon.
You can also sign up for our meetup group, because we'll be putting it on there as soon as we have something secured. And we will make sure that we have something. Sarah and I were talking earlier today, and if we can't find something in a bookstore, what we're doing now is trying to work with CrossFit Boxes to see if they'll just host a signing for people who already have books. And maybe we could do like a group WAD or, you know, something if you wanted to also do that with us.
Sounds like so much fun.
Or if nothing else, we'll just do like a potluck in the park and you can bring your books. So no matter what, we will have something on Sunday. So set aside the time. It'll likely be early afternoon, like basically the same kind of time, like noon, 1 o'clock-ish, because Sarah has to fly back that evening. And I don't know what is wrong with the DC area, but it's like so much red tape to try to get a book signing here. It's unbelievable. So
I've been having this issue in multiple cities, actually. Mm-hmm. It really feels like bookstores are starting to pull away from wanting to host book signings.
I just don't understand why you wouldn't be interested in selling a ton of books. Like, I don't understand. So,
but if you could see me, I would be shrugging, right? I'm shrugging and I have that facial expression of like, yep.
I don't know. I've been to bookstores where they've said to us as we leave, like, wow, we've never had that many people at a book signing before. Like, essentially every single book signing I've ever gone to, they've said that. And I think they're just not used to, like, paleo bloggers. I don't know why, but we're special snowflakes and people like to hang out with us. So people come out more than they do for, I guess, regular authors, unless it's like a super famous person or something. So
maybe it's seeing people super and hugging famous. People
and hearing your wonderful stories. So please set aside the time if you're in either the remote vicinity of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, or the Washington, D.C. metro area, Saturday the 6th for Pennsylvania, and then Sunday the 7th for DC, we will be doing something with you. So there's that.
There's that. And I think that's a wrap.
Sweet.
Thank you for listening to The Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.
He is standing at the standing desk on a stool, and then, like, the microphone is in between us. So we're being a little wonky here. You only fell off the stool one time. It's way more rewarding. Oh my god. Can you hear my cat?
Are you distracted by the cat?
Oh my god. She's going crazy.
About the same volume as you are in the microphone.
Danny! Come here. So we were away from the weekend and the Bengals are just like dogs. Like they're really upset at us for leaving.
Have they pooped in anybody's shoe yet? This is what we need.
We have not discovered any poo, but